Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, Utah gets the invite to the Big 12, and we're talking Utes in fall camp. I am Cameron, and we got Ryan.
What is up, Big 12 Nation?
And Scott.
Oh, I am not prepared for that.
Hey, I wasn't Ryan, planning on saying that.
Did you not listen to Kyle Whittingham? We are still in the Pac-12, and our focus is strictly on the Pac-12.
That's true. It's not till July 1st of 2024 that we become official members of the Big 12.
We better start planning our rave right now.
So Utah gets the invite to the Big 12. It's great that they have a home. I would not want to be Oregon State or Washington State right now. But guys, I got to admit, I'm going to miss the Pac-12. I am going to miss it.
Yeah, it was for 12 years. It was a great place to be. And Utah grew immensely in the last 12 years. Yeah, miss some of those rivalries that came about, but we'll still have the Arizona State rivalry. Might even be in our division.
Pod. Excuse me. It's pod.
Oh, pod. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's new Big 12 lingo.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I don't like the pod thing. I don't get it.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
The pods are Big 12.
The Big 12.
Okay.
It is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. It was our best option. And so obviously we had to do it. And I think there's going to be aspects that are going to be fun. It's definitely a more passionate fan base across the conference. You're not going to have, a Cal and a Stanford fan base. It's just non-existent, right? These fan bases are passionate. Football means something to them. You're going to have, when the Utes go on the road, you're going to have a full stadium in all of these different locations. So there's definitely going to be positives to it. But I just cannot believe. I mean, it seems like every day we're learning more about what the Pac-12 didn't do or turned down. As far as, I mean, today I read that last year when USC and UCLA decided to leave, we were talking with TCU and Houston to bring them into the Pac-12, but never ultimately extended the invitation. I just think, what were we doing? What on earth were we doing? Just step after step that was just incorrect, which leads us to this situation. And yeah, I mean, Did you guys watch the press conference with President Randall and Harlan?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, those two gentlemen were very careful on what they were saying.
Oh, and for it sure.
It seemed very clear the Big 12 was a last resort option. They wanted to preserve the Pac-12. And if Oregon and if Washington would have shown up to that meeting last Friday to sign the grant of rights, Utah and it seems like every other school would have signed.
At least that's what has been reported and what some of the schools are saying, that everybody was on board and ready to sign except for those two schools. But I mean, what are they going to say at this point? I mean, you got to kind of save face if that's not the case. But I tend to agree with you, Scott, that this was a last resort. Because once those two schools are gone, you're left with bringing in some G5 schools that really kind of ruin what the Pac-12 was. So you've really got to make the move.
So I'll totally agree with you, Scott, that it seemed like Randall and Harlan were very careful what they're saying. And to Ryan's credit, yeah, you kind of expect that. ASU's president wasn't so reserved, I guess, stating his opinion.
He was just like a grumpy old man that didn't care what he said.
It was classic. And I mean, it's out there. And I think Randall even said that a lot of the things that were getting reported in the media were actually accurate. And so I firmly believe that Plan A was keeping the Pac-12 intact. Plan B was trying to get in the Big Ten somehow. And then it seems like the Big 12 was Plan C.
I think Big Ten is still the goal, but you got to bide your time now till that opens up.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And obviously, Randall behind the scenes, that's their goal. That's what they're working at, is really meeting those requirements that the Big Ten gave them that they're going to need to achieve in order to be considered for an invitation down the road. So that's the end goal. But now you got one more year in the pack, and then you've got to go and you've got to be successful in the Big 12. A lot is in Utah's favor. I mean, the national media is beating down the door that Utah should be one of the favorites year in and year out in the conference. Just based off of in the Pac-12, we were in the fifth position on average as far as recruiting classes. Moving to the Big 12, we will be first place. So that's huge for Utah, right? Now, obviously, that's got to continue. And changing conferences and changing, you know, recruiting states in your primary areas could affect that a little bit. But Utah's got a great chance to go in there and win early in the Big 12, which is they're going to need to do if they want to impress the Big 10.
All right. I want to get your guys' thoughts. And every time that it was reported Utah going to the Big 12, the local media had to throw in their fanboy for the team down south as part of the announcement. I might be in the minority, so I'm curious what you guys think. I don't really care if the rivalry is played every year with BYU. Because you're not going to play everyone in the Big 12. There's just too many teams, not enough conference games. I would be fine not having that game every single year.
I would be too, because I mean, it's different now. Because it's been fun playing other out of conference schools versus just playing BYU every year. Now, what happens? I mean, if we do end up in the same pod, I don't know. Do pods play every school in their pod?
Are you saying you don't think we'll play BYU each year?
I don't want to. It's not like I'm scared of BYU and like them beating Utah. I'm not a fan of the rivalry, to be honest with you. I just think I hate the week leading up to it. I think it's so silly, especially by the local media, that I just don't care about that team. Like, I honestly do not care about BYU. I don't.
I don't think there is any chance that Utah and BYU will not play every year. That is one of the biggest factors that everyone's talking about, is the need for rivalries in this new Big 12. And there's no bigger one than Utah BYU. That is going to be a prime game. I think the only question is, when is that game going to be played? Is it going to be played earlier in the season, or is it going to be played, last week of the season, kind of in rivalry week? But I think we will be playing BYU year in and year out. I don't think there's a chance of anything different.
I would agree. And I'm kind of with Cameron a little bit. It's been fun to not play them every year. But maybe it's mostly to hear them whine about it because they want to play it and the local media wants us to play it. But, I mean, why not play it and just keep proving the point that we're the better team? I mean, the one out of the last 9 or 10 games they've won, and we had a sorry excuse for a quarterback that game who transferred the next day. So, yeah, just play it and show them who's king of the Big 12.
We got to take a break. I looked ahead at Utah's games that they have out of conference. That's going to be changed up. So curious what you guys think what Utah should do. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so looking at Utah's future schedule, they play Baylor this year as a non-conference. Next year, they have Baylor and BYU. In 2 years, it's BYU. And then they have some series with Houston, and they have BYU on the schedule. So obviously, their out-of-conference has to change because all of those are going to turn into conference games. That was asked to President Randall and Harlan in the conference. They didn't get into it. They haven't even looked at that stuff. But I'm curious what you guys think, because now Utah's got to schedule 2 non-conference games for next season. It might be hard to get kind of a big name school like they had for Baylor for next year.
I don't think there's going to be any attempt or any likelihood that that's even possible. This late in the game, everybody's scheduled in. So there's only going to be maybe a handful of teams that even have an opening. And I mean, you're going to have to go the way of the SEC scheduling. You're just going to find a made up school essentially to come in and fill a spot or two on that schedule out of conference. And you know what? That's probably going to be just fine, because under those circumstances, you can't do anything different. And you're going to have a pretty good slate of conference games. As of right now, it's 9 conference games. That's what I'm most interested in seeing is the Big 12 done expanding? Is a Cal or a Stanford or an Oregon State, Washington State, or heck, even some ACC schools still have the possibility of joining? You know, you add 2 to 4 more schools, and now all of a sudden, you know, there's talk of, do they go to 10 conference games? And so there's a number of things at play there. But I think Utah's just going to have to find anybody that is willing to come and take a beating and has an open week.
So you pull a BYU independent schedule is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go full November and you just find warm bodies at that point.
Somebody reported that New Mexico State, and I believe it was UNLV, do have open dates next year. So those could be possibilities, just because it's so quick.
Hey, maybe we get a return to Vegas next year after all.
There were rumors about Oregon State and Washington State possibly joining at a reduced rate, but latest I've heard is those rumors have been kind of put to rest. That's not happening. I don't know, guys. I feel bad for those two programs and their fan bases. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't imagine what those fan bases, or I should say two of those fan bases, are going through right now. Especially, I feel really bad for Oregon State. They're on the rise in football. You know, they've been down in the dumps, but they're competitive. Heck, they're a top 25 team this year. This year they're opening the new stadium. I mean, it just seems like things were trending up for that program as a whole, helping the conference, and now they got nowhere to go. That's just, I equally feel, you know, bad for those guys. If it works out that they come to the Big 12, I think that'd be awesome, because they're, you know, there's kind of a kinship, I think, between Oregon State and Utah. As far as just how the programs operate, fan base, all of that. And, but yeah, it's unfortunate, ultimately, to see. I mean, there's a lot of rumors floating around out there as far as where they're going to land. Looks like San Diego State behind the scenes. They love being in the hot water with the Mountain West Conference.
Oh, they hate the Mountain West so much.
They tried to orchestrate something. It got leaked today that it wasn't going to happen. Now that's got to upset the Mountain West again. I mean, it's just a mess.
It's a mess. I'll
tell you what, though. Oregon State, I mean, they've got some talent coming back, and they could have a chip on their shoulder this year just to try to prove a point. So that they could be they could be a tough opponent for any of us.
No, if DJ P can play at a high level, that team could be really scary. I mean, they legitimately have a chance with some good quarterback play to win the conference this year. And yeah, I think they're going to have the proper motivation to give it their best shot.
All right, going back to the Big 12, what team are you looking forward to most for Utah to play?
Football or basketball?
We do both.
You know, I'm a little mixed on this. I think I'd go TCU just because of that past, you know, rivalry that we've had with them in the Mountain West Conference. You know, obviously they've given us some pretty poor memories, but we've beaten them a few times in pretty spectacular fashion. So, you know, I think we're going to be right there with TCU as one of the top teams in the league. So I think that's going to be fun. You know, I'm excited to go play Oklahoma State. We've really never played them, never been down there. I think that's going to be a fun game. Obviously, basketball, you know, going and playing Lawrence, Kansas, having them come to the Huntsman Center, that's awesome.
What about you, Ray? What score are you looking forward to?
Iowa State, for sure. Cyclone Larry. I want to meet Cyclone Larry.
Yeah, I tell you, I think when we look back at our time in the Big 12, as long as we played a part in Iowa State never winning 10 regular season games, then it'll be a success for the Utes.
Dude, can I just say, I did not know Iowa State had fans. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And when all this was going down on Twitter, and they just were like coming out of the woodworks, I literally know nothing about the Cyclones, and the fact that they even had fans on Twitter, I was actually impressed.
They are not fans of the Utah Utes,
apparently.
Well, wasn't it our last year in the Mountain West? We went there and destroyed them.
Shaky Smithson.
That was
right?
Under Jordan Wynn and Eddie Wide and Shaky Smithson. Yeah, well, I think we beat them like 63-10 or something like that. It was a beatdown.
Yeah, I mean, I
think
joking.
That might have been like that might have been Cubby's freshman year.
Same team Scott mentioned as far as football. I mean, Oklahoma State, Baylor, TCU, those are probably the top ones for me. And in basketball, obviously the Jayhawks, that'll be awesome to do home and homes with them. Outside of that, I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll probably, yeah, we'll have, obviously still have Arizona State and Arizona still coming to the Huntsman Center and Rice Eccles. So it's always good to beat those two schools.
I think for me, I'm actually looking forward to Texas Tech. I think that can maybe get a little good, or get some good games between Utah and Texas Tech.
Too bad the old Utah State coach isn't still there. I forget his name.
Okay, hey, I'm gonna change pass here for a minute. So now that we are no longer associated with, you know, the woke schools of Cal and Stanford and, you know, their craziness, I think we can fully embrace the drum and feather again. I think we can fully embrace the Ute name and stop hiding it. And stop being afraid. Oh, are we going to have the Red Tail Hawks in the future or the Utah Moose? No. Let's put that all to bed. We're now amongst country folk who grow corn and who ride horses, and they don't care about any of that nonsense. All right? Let's put it to bed. We're the Utes. Let's get the drum and feather on the middle of the field. Let's stop with the 12 different logos covering Rice Eccles Stadium, and let's embrace the drum and feather.
You forget who our AD is.
Everyone in favor, say aye.
As long as it's gray.
Oh, jeez. All right, you're voted off the island.
With a beehive.
Is one of those 12 logos a beehive?
Better be.
You know what? It's a new year. Anything's possible with our marketing department. I was encouraged to see that we're doing a redout for the Florida game. Well, I'm just saying, I'm just glad we've remembered what our school colors are. So that's a big win.
But don't worry, the blackout game is still happening. They just don't know when it will be.
Yeah, that even though they put out the promotional schedule already, so it seems a little odd that they haven't figured that one out yet. Which probably means the helmets, the hand-painted helmets, will be with the blackout this year. Ooh. And they don't know when those are probably going to be done.
Ooh.
That would be my guess.
Good guess.
I'll tell you what, the guy who came up with painting these helmets for this U is making bank off of this every single year. Holy cow. Well,
let's play a game. What is going to be on the helmets this year?
It's going to... Okay. I got it.
The Big 12 logo.
Okay. No, remember in Endgame when they faded into dust? It will be the Pac-12 logo fading into dust on the back. And then the dust will form two hands that form the U. Or a beehive.
I'm thinking we should do George Kliavkoff's face on one side and Larry Scott's on the other. Just to say thank you for their leadership.
if we're going with faces on the helmets, why not Bill Walton on one side and the... Oh, shoot, what's his name? The guy from...
Yogi Roth?
The guy with the raspy voice from Fox...
Petrus, yes, what's his Petrus. Name? Papadakis?
Papadakis, yes.
Oh, yeah, well, I got nothing.
I mean, we still have a season, as you said, in the Pac-12, so...
Let's get off this Big 12 damper here. Let's talk about the 2023 Utes. Ball camp's going on. Kyle Whittingham's talking about the team today. What are your guys' thoughts? It's not sounding promising about Cam Rising.
I am scared to death about Cam Rising being available for Florida.
If Bryson Barnes has worked his way back into contention for the backup job,
They tried to kill him off in the spring, and he's back. What does that say about Nate Johnson and Rose? If I'll tell you what, if Bryson Barnes runs out on the field to start the Florida game, I will lose my mind.
I'd be right there with you.
Can't disagree.
How is it that we are going into year three? Year three, where he is our best backup.
But is he?
Well, apparently he was in 2021. He was in 2022.
I don't know how much I'm putting faith in stock into what Whittingham is saying to the media.
He just might be playing word games to get the other two motivated.
I think that's 100% it. Whit, and especially unproven guys, Whittingham does not like to give praise publicly.
Okay, but guys, this isn't anything new with Whittingham. We know him. He is not going to put a young quarterback who is throwing interceptions and making incorrect plays and calls in practice out on the field against Florida in game one.
I know.
He is conservative. He will say, okay, Bryson Barnes, you're going to go be our quarterback.
No, he'll
say, run the ball 65 times, and you're going to throw it 10 times.
And that's how you end up with Charlie Brewer back there.
But is that not Whittingham? He's not going to put a young gunslinger back there.
I know.
Especially in an important game.
That's why I'm hoping that it is just all smoke and mirrors.
Well, it could be the fact that he's trying to motivate those other two, but it also could be like he just wants Florida to be like guessing all over the place, like who's going to be the quarterback. Because if he starts throwing out these three names, they might start thinking, oh, Rising's not going to be ready. And maybe lo and behold, Rising runs out there. But
I mean, Florida's coaches weren't born yesterday. They're going to prepare for Rising. They saw him last year. They know what he's capable of and the type of game he plays. And even if Whittingham's throwing Barnes out there, guess what? Barnes is the same type of player. You know, really the only way you can create an advantage if you say, hey, Nate Johnson's going to be the starter game one. Because then you're dealing with two very different type of quarterbacks that would then cause Florida to kind of prepare differently, right? And prepare their defense to play the cage, the cage rush, and not let Nate Johnson out of there. And so when it comes from Barnes to Rising, they're a similar player. Just the skill level is just completely different. So I just don't know. I don't know that he's playing games with Florida. I'm hoping, as you said, it's more just to motivate Nate Johnson and Rose to play at a higher level over these next few weeks of fall camp.
I'm telling you, wrap that leg in bubble wrap a gazillion times, put a brace on it and put him out there.
Well, and here's the hard part is he's not even live. Can you put Rising, assuming he gets cleared to play, can you put him out there in Florida when he hasn't been live since the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, of course you can, because he's got more experience. He's got so much experience. It's not like he needs, you know, all of fall camp. Yes, obviously you want your quarterback sharp and you want him ready to go. But I would take personally a Cam Rising at 75% versus a Bryson Barnes at 150%. You don't agree?
No, I agree. I don't disagree. I just is Rising at 70%. That's my concern.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we're not going to know concern. That.
Even if Rising plays, you know there's going to be, especially when they're going to try to protect him, there's going to be, I would say, several situations where they bring in Nate Johnson or Rose just to show some different looks to throw make the defense think. Because if Rising's going to be out there, their defensive line and linebackers are going to be going after him big time.
Well, that's where the O-line, man. O-line's got to be ready to go game one and provide him a pocket, keep the pressure off of him. Because, yeah, he's not – even if he runs out there, his escapability in the pocket is not going to be what it's been in the past, and he's not going to be able to pick up tons of yards on the ground, picking up first downs and extending plays. So, yeah, I mean, the offense is going to look different as a result. But I would still, man, I still take that. I still take that every day of the week over a young quarterback.
No, I don't think we disagree with you at all there. One thing I will say about Rising, I don't know if you heard his, what is it called? Like his sit down with Bill Riley. He talked about this offseason. He has been tweaking his throwing motion. And so maybe this kind of rehab and not being live and being able to focus more on his mechanics, maybe that will pay off. We'll see. I'm still scared. I'm still nervous about it because they're a little down, but man, there's still SEC talent there.
Yeah, they still recruit at a high level, but this is a game Utah has to win. It has to win for a perception standpoint. And needs to win, especially after what happened last year, right? Utah basically just gave that game away last year. And you cannot afford to lose again to these guys, especially at Rice-Eccles. Obviously, you know, I know last year the talk was, oh, we got to go down and play in that humidity. Well, they got to come up here and play in the altitude. Let's see how that does. These guys haven't crossed the Mississippi in a regular season game since, I think, in any of our lifetimes. So it'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, this is a must win, and that's why I think Cam Rising has to be on the field. Because this is, yes, it doesn't mean anything in our conference race, which is the number one goal, winning the Pac-12. But in today's college football, switching conferences, perception matters. Utah has got to win this game.
I think the other thing Utah has going for it is the defense is going to be better than they were game one last year. The offense needs to put some points on the board, but they don't need to be clicking at 100% because I think the defense is going to be, it may not be lights out game one, but they also don't have to be.
It has a chance to be pretty special though.
For sure. Yeah.
And Florida, you're not dealing with a top 10 draft pick, a quarterback who could escape and do damage with his legs like he did last year, right? You've got the transfer from Wisconsin, who's kind of a Cam Rising type player, right? Just throw the ball. He's good, but he's not a first round draft pick. And so I think obviously that's in Utah's favor as well. Just play Utah football. Get after the quarterback. Run the ball. Take care of the ball. You know, I think that'll be enough for Utah, obviously. And we'll get into specifics a little bit later in future podcasts. But I don't know. It's coming, boys. It's coming quick.
23 days.
All right. So that will do it for this episode. Ryan, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Drum and Feather. That's drum, letter, and feather.
And Scott?
Yeah, you can find me at UtahMan_forever.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Utah Man Podcast. You can listen to us at our home, UtahManPodcast.com, and anywhere else to a podcast, we are there. And go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes, we'll be telling Daika Yai.
We're good, let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.